Okay, we're going to welcome everybody in. We thank you that you're here today, and we're so pleased that you're here. We're going to pray, and then we're going to sing our chorus of the month. Dear Lord and Heavenly Father, we thank you that we're here today. We thank you that we can be blessed by your preaching, Lord, and I pray that you would lift us up today. Help us to listen, help us to learn, help us to grow. We ask this in your holy, precious name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. We're going to sing our chorus of the month, our new one now. It's the first of the month, so we're going to sing our new one.
God will make a way where there seems to be no way. He works in ways we cannot see. He will make a way for me. He will be my guide. Hold me closely to his side. With love and strength for each new day, he will make a
come down. Go ahead, turn around, shake
it later in the service as well. So let's go to the Lord in prayer. I want to thank you again for your giving, your tithes and offering. Visitors, please, if you don't mind dropping off a visitor's card, if you have able to have time to fill that out. If not, just get it to me after the service. We'd appreciate it. All right, Brother Leonard, would you ask God's blessings on our tithes and offering this morning?
Father God, thank you so much for this beautiful day you gave us, Lord. There is no better way to start our week than to be in your house, Father, worshiping our great and precious God. And Father, we want to worship you in spirit, Father. We want to worship you with all of our heart. And Father, we also want to thank you so much for all that you have done for us. And Father, we recognize your worth, Father. It is not anything that we do, Father. It's all of what you have done, especially through your Son, Jesus. We would not even be gathered here had it not been for his obedience to your heavenly wish. And Father, we just so much appreciate all that you have done for us, Father. We give you all of our worship from our hearts. And Father, just we want to thank you for all that you have given to us, Father. We just take this time now to worship you by giving back a portion of what you've given to us for the furtherance of the efforts of this ministry here in Goodyear at Harvest Baptist Church, Father, and all the missionaries that we support throughout the world. And for the community as well, Father, for all that we can do to support the activities that are precious to us, Father, for those that haven't yet come to see your house here at Harvest. Father, thank you for each one that's here. Thank you for each visitor, Father. Bless the offerings, bless the giver, and Father, just be with us as we celebrate our great God this morning. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
All right, before we go to the Lord in prayer this morning, again, a small little change this morning, and I'll introduce a video a little later, have scripture reading right before the special music. But if you're visiting with us just here this morning, it's a time of prayer where the gentlemen and the men of Harvest pray for me as I prepare to preach the Word of God here in a few moments, and then, of course, I pray for them as well as our church family. So let's go before the Lord this morning and ask God's blessings on the remainder of our service as well as we pray for one another. Father, we come before thy throne this morning with grateful hearts, but at the same time, some needs. And Father, I do pray, Father, and thank you for your blessings, for your provisions. And Lord, we pray this morning for our country. Pray that you would be with our president, our secretary of defense, our military around the world, and all that is taking place in the Middle East right now. We pray your guardian hand around them and around our soldiers, around our Navy. And Lord, those that are making decisions, I pray that you'd be with Israel and the people of Israel and their military as well, that you'd protect and keep them safe. We pray that this conflict is going on, Father, would be in sooner rather than later. And then, Father, we pray this morning for our local assembly here, the Harvest Baptist Church. We thank for those who are here this morning assembling with us, those who may be visiting for the first time or the first time in a long time. We pray they feel well received and welcome. I pray that you'd help them prepare their hearts and minds for the preaching of thy word this morning. And Lord, I praise you and thank you for the men of Harvest and other men that are here visiting with us this morning. Pray that you would just put a hedge about them, Father. Protect them from sin. Protect them from physical harm and distress. Father, guard their heart, their eyes, their ears, their tongue, and help them to be godly examples at home in their community, Father, at work and here in our amongst our church family. Help them to be guiding examples. Father, be with those that are traveling. I think of the Robinsons and others that are traveling and on the road. I pray that you give them traveling mercies and safety. Those that are homesick or in the hospital, we think of Miss Carol this morning that's in the hospital, others as well that are in hospital this morning. We pray your protection on them. Give doctors, give them insight and wisdom. Pray that you strengthen and heal their bodies. Father, we pray for our church ministries here. We thank you for those who labor in the nursery and children's ministries, those that are outside during our service providing watch care for us and protecting us while we worship and serve you and hear the preaching of thy word. We thank you for them. Father, we thank you for the ladies of Harvest and their willingness and desire to serve, and such a blessing they are to their pastor and his wife and to our folks here at Harvest Baptist Church. We pray your continued blessings upon their life. And now, Father, we also pray this morning a little later for the reading of thy word, that the scriptures will go forth, Lord, and herald forth this morning with power and with boldness. They would fall on listening ears, that we'd be ready to prepare to hear and to apply those things to their life. Father, once again, we want to praise you and thank you for your provisions, and we ask that you do what only you can do within our midst this morning. And we ask these things in the wonderful name of our Savior, the Lord Jesus. Amen. We've had a tradition of having not only the men's prayer, but on the first Sunday of the month of having the aspect of real men sing real loud at the beginning. And then we have a prophecy update. And as many of you know, and some of you are visiting with us, Brother Smith, who usually does a prophecy update, has relocated, but has been gracious enough to continue to do the prophecy update. So we're going to try this for the first Sunday. It'll be via video here in just a moment. It'll be the first time we've done it via video because he's always been here. He's a member of Harvest, but has relocated. So we have a video this morning. It's a little bit longer than normal. He says, the only thing that I regret, I just got an email from him yesterday that I sent it in, made all my preparations before what took place over the weekend took place. I would have made some tweaks, he said, but we'll include that in the next prophecy update. And so you bear with us as we'll get to have the video. We'll show the video. And then after that, I'll come back for the scripture reading and then our special music as the children are dismissed to children's church as well, and then the preaching of God's word.
Well, good morning, Harvest Baptist. It is time for a prophecy update, and this is where we look at current events in relation to Bible prophecy. And there certainly has been a lot going on over the last several weeks, as I'm sure you're well aware. And we will probably cover about 0.1% of it here this morning, but it should be interesting. Just to give you a heads up, we're going to be starting out in Ecclesiastes chapter 1, and then we're going to spend some time in Ezekiel 38. So if you want to kind of turn to those two places and be at the ready for that. Excuse me. But Ecclesiastes chapter 1, verse 9, that's where we're going to start out. So, a lot to cover this morning, so let's begin. First, Mark Twain is reputed to have said, "History never repeats itself, but it rhymes." And under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, Solomon wrote in Ecclesiastes 1:9, "The thing that hath been, it is that which shall be, and that which is done is that which shall be done, and there is no new thing under the sun." You know, history is replete with examples of nations being driven to start wars because of internal crises. From the Peloponnesian War in 431 BC to the Russian War of Aggression against Ukraine started in 2022, these wars have served such purposes as distracting from economic or political failure, unifying the country, or justifying repression and authoritarian power. This is known as diversionary war theory. So this morning, we're going to return our attention to the prophecy of the coming Russian-led invasion of Israel in Ezekiel chapters 38 and 39. And we'll consider what's going on with two of the principal nations identified in this prophecy, namely the Russian Federation and the Islamic Republic of Iran, and how the stage is being set for the eventual fulfillment of their ultimate destiny as foretold in Ezekiel over 2,600 years ago. And so let's take a look at Ezekiel chapter 38, starting in verse 2. And I'm going to read verses 2 through 6, and then also the first half of verse 16. Starting in verse 2, "Son of man, set thy face against Gog," that's the leader of Russia, "the land of Magog," Magog being an ancient name for Russia, "the chief prince of Meshech and Tubal," that's a reference to the modern cities of Moscow and Tobolsk, and prophecy against him. And by the way, if you want to learn more about where those names come from, I would refer you to the first several prophecy updates that came out in October of 2023. I go into a lot of detail on that. Then picking up at verse 3, "And say, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I am against thee, O Gog, the chief prince of Meshech and Tubal, and I will turn thee back and put hooks into thy jaws, and I will bring thee forth, and all thine army, horses and horsemen, all of them clothed with all sorts of armor, even a great company with bucklers and shields, all of them handling swords. Persia, Ethiopia, and Libya with them, all of them with shield and helmet. Gomer, Ethiopia, and Libya with them, all of them with shield and helmet. Gomer and all his bands, the house of Togarma of the north quarters," that would be Turkey. And keep in mind, in the Bible, all directions are given in relation to Israel. "And all his bands, and many people with thee, and thou shalt come up against my people," I'm in verse 16 now, "and thou shalt come up against my people of Israel as a cloud to cover the land. It shall be in the latter days." And that's our days, because I believe we are in the latter days, the end times. So Russia's invasion of Ukraine is accelerating Russia's military, political, economic, and demographic decline. Russia's battlefield performance in Ukraine has been disastrous. According to Georgetown University's Center for Strategic and International Studies, since the war began in February 2022, Russia has suffered a staggering 1.2 million casualties, of which about 325,000 have been killed. There were roughly 415,000 Russian casualties in just 2025 alone. No major power has suffered anywhere near these numbers of casualties or fatalities in any war since World War II. And for all its casualties, Russian forces have only been advancing in Ukraine at an average pace of just 70 meters per day. In 2025, Russia seized only an additional 4,831 square kilometers of Ukrainian territory, which would be about the size of the state of Delaware. For comparison, it took the Red Army 1,394 days from the start of Operation Barbarossa, Hitler's invasion of the Soviet Union, for the Soviets to make it to Berlin in World War II. And yet Russia hit that mark in its war on Ukraine, 1,394 days, on December 19th, 2025, and they have relatively little to show for it. Russia now has an economy about the size of South Korea, and it's on its way to becoming a third-rate economic power. Because Russia's bandwidth has been taken up by its war in Ukraine, many countries along its southern periphery no longer look to Russia for economic or security assistance. Consequently, Russia is losing influence in strategically important regions such as the Caucasus, which includes Georgia, Azerbaijan, and Armenia, as well as Central Asia, including Turkmenistan, Kazakhstan, Tajikistan, Uzbekistan, and Kyrgyzstan. When the war finally ends in Ukraine, Russia will undoubtedly turn its attention to the south, its southern border, and the regions beyond. And this has prophetic implications relative to the war described in Ezekiel 38 and 39. Now, for the sake of time, we need to turn our attention to Iran. President Donald Trump has said that if Iranian authorities start killing a lot of their people who are protesting economic conditions in their country, that it would be a red line that could trigger a U.S. response. On February 20th, President Trump said the Iranian government has killed over 32,000 of their own people, as reported by USA Today. Notwithstanding this, the main reason for the U.S. military buildup in the Middle East actually is the fact that Iran has been trying to reconstitute its nuclear program as well as its ballistic missile production capability, which is of immediate concern to the United States and Israel. Perhaps by the time you see this presentation, the United States will have started taking kinetic action against Iran. As I'm preparing this video, the U.S. has already built up a massive force in the Middle East. The USS Abraham Lincoln Carrier Strike Group, with the 9th Carrier Air Wing embarked, is operating in the North Arabian Sea and Gulf of Oman area. The Air Wing has 9 squadrons of aircraft, including F-35C Joint Strike Fighters, F-A-18E Super Hornet multi-role fighters, and various electronic warfare and early warning aircraft. And the strike group also consists of 3 Arleigh Burke-class guided missile destroyers, each likely carrying up to 45 Tomahawk land attack cruise missiles, as well as an attack submarine. The USS Gerald R. Ford Carrier Strike Group, with the 8th Carrier Air Wing embarked, entered the Mediterranean on Friday, February 20th, and it's heading to the Middle East. On land, of course, the U.S. has been deploying more squadrons of F-35A Lightning II Joint Strike Fighters, F-22 Raptor Air Superiority Fighters, F-15E Strike Eagles, and A-10 Thunderbolt Attack Aircraft, also known as the Warthog. Although not in the region, the U.S. could fly B-52 Stratofortress and B-2 Spirit stealth bombers from the continental United States directly to the theater of operations. I can't, of course, go into all the details, but suffice it to say that by the time you see this video, about half of the deployed U.S. Navy will be in the Middle East region, and about 45% of all U.S. deployable air power worldwide will be in the Middle East, all under the operational control of the Commander, United States Central Command, Admiral Brad Cooper. There are also, by the way, a small number of Chinese naval vessels in the Arabian Sea and at least one Russian naval corvette operating in the Persian Gulf. And I would say that besides being a show of support for Iran, I think their primary purpose is to gather intelligence on any U.S. military operations. So, what is going to happen? Well, as I prepare this video, I can't say for sure, but I can say this, that never in history has the United States amassed this level of military power without actually using it in combat. Maybe by the time you see this video, an attack will have already begun. The next question is, what will be the geopolitical and ultimately the prophetic implications of a sustained U.S. attack on Iran, possibly joined by Israel? Will there be regime change? Right now, Iran and the U.S. are navigating a narrow path where every signal has weight, every step has consequences, and the margin for error is shrinking at an accelerating pace. A likely option for the U.S. is to decapitate the Iranian regime, which could include Supreme Leader Ayatollah Ali Khamenei, which, as I will remind you, I said much earlier that, you know, you only get to be Supreme Leader for life, and that's it. And obviously, such a decapitation strike could also include other senior political and military leaders. And other goals would be to take out missile infrastructure and command and control structures and adopt a strategy of dominance rather than escalation. The strategic objective would not necessarily be regime change, but to extract the maximum concessions from Iran on its nuclear and ballistic missile programs. In this case, I would say that President Trump is not practicing deterrence, but compellence. And I would say that he is operating on the principle that you cannot win at the negotiating table what you cannot enforce on the battlefield. Of course, there are significant risks that a conflict could escalate beyond anything that was contemplated in terms of intensity and geospatial scope. There will be too many unpredictable second and third order consequences to say with any certainty, at least at this point. After the conflict is over, I think we may be in a better position to assess the prophetic implications. So our job as Christians observing these events is to stay grounded in Scripture. Oftentimes, you know, we can get insight into our current events questions by studying Bible prophecy closely. Too often, however, we miss the obvious that God has put before us in His Word. As an example, I previously read Ezekiel 38:2, where Russia is identified as the leader of this invasion of Israel. And I'm reminded that back in the 80s, during the Cold War, many Bible scholars would read that verse and then say something like, well, although the Bible talks about Russia, in a modern context, it must obviously be referring to the Soviet Union, of which Russia is the dominant part. Or so we all used to think. But then, what happened? On Christmas Day, 1991, the last president of the Soviet Union, Mikhail Sergeyevich Gorbachev, announced his resignation. And the next day, the USSR Supreme Soviet formally voted to dissolve the Soviet Union. On that day, we all learned something. When God says Russia in His Word, He means Russia. And today, Russia itself is an actor on the world stage, just as Scripture indicates. Well, my time is at a close. I'm going to leave you with 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 19, where it says, "We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto ye do well that ye take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts." Let's bow for prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for your word and the sure word of prophecy that we have. Father, though the days we live in are uncertain times, the one certainty we have is that we all know how it is going to end. And Father, just help us, Lord, not to be dismayed by what we see, not to be worried, but Father, just to have confidence that you are in control. And now, Lord, I just ask and pray that you bless the services which follow now in Jesus' name. Amen.
text, 2 John verse 9. We finished up 2 John some weeks ago, but I kind of circled back a little bit and covered a little bit more in the word transgresseth, and we'll finish that today and move into 3 John next week. The Bible says in 2 John verse 9, "Whosoever transgresseth abideth not in the doctrine of Christ, have not God. He that abideth in the doctrine of Christ, he hath both the Father and the Son. If there come any unto you and bring not this doctrine, receive him not into your house, neither bid him Godspeed. For he that biddeth him Godspeed is a partaker of his evil deeds. Having many things to write unto you, I would not write with paper and ink, but I trust to come unto you and speak face to face, that your joy may be full." Continue. For those who are visiting with us, I'll do a quick recap. We will continue with Going Their Own Way, Part 3. And I thought I was through with 2 John a few weeks ago. We spent just over 14-15 months through 1 John and then 2 John, and we'll go on to 3 John next Sunday. But quick recap, if the Lord is not leading your life, you are not seeking His will and direction in it. And we're pulling out that word transgression as we go back through this passage of Scripture. And dear friend, there are consequences of going your own way and taking matters into your own hands. What are some of those consequences? Well, we have covered when you go your own way, we lose God's blessings. And then last week, when you go your own way, we learn the hard way. And then today we'll cover just a couple more and we'll close out 2 John and move on to 3 John next week. But the third part of this in this series, Going Your Own Way. When you go your own way, we make things worse. When we decide to do things our own way, I want to do it my way, I want to make my choices sometimes, and very often we tend to make things worse. After 10 years from the time that God promised them a child, Abraham and Sarai had no children. Genesis chapter 16 and verse 2, the Bible says, "And Sarai said unto Abraham, Behold now, the Lord hath restrained me from bearing. I pray thee, go unto my maid, and it may be that I may obtain child by her. And Abraham hearkened to the voice of Sarai." See, Sarah was tired of waiting. She had too many candles on her birthday cake. She just didn't believe that God could give her a child in her own age. She was suffering from the help God out syndrome. There seems to be a syndrome going around the political world today as well. Have you ever been afflicted with the helping God out syndrome? Believe me, the Lord doesn't need your help. He doesn't need my help. He can do exactly what he has said he would do in his time. Sarah offered to give Abraham her handmaid as a wife, and she would act as a surrogate mother for Sarah. And as they tried to help God out, they only made things worse. The same usually happens to us today. When we lack faith in God's word and compromise because of our impatience and "I want it now" attitude, we create a big mess and more problems. See, the problems in the Middle East today can be traced to this very incident of this couple going their own way. You ever thought about that? Abraham had a son through Hagar, and the descendants of Ishmael, his son, are the Arabs, and still in conflict with the descendants of Isaac, even today, being the Jews. This mess in the Middle East is traced to Abraham's decision to go his own way. Dear friend, God wants us to learn to wait upon him and for his timing in the worries of our lives. But too often, because of worry and wringing of the hands, or what will be, or a what if, and the what if, and the what if. And let's remember that word, little word if, IF, stands basically for I fear, and we allow our fears to get ahead of our decisions. You see, when we go our own way, we create problems that cannot be corrected or cannot be corrected easily. In King Saul's case, he lost his kingdom because he was impatient and he took matters into his own hands, offering the sacrifice that Samuel should have offered to the Lord because he went his own way. In the case of the prodigal son, he messed up his life by losing everything he owned by sinful living and literally stunk up by ending in the hog pen. Jonah ran from God and literally messed up his life too by ending up in the stomach of a great fish. Dear friends, does your life seem to be in ruins right now because you have gone your own way? I want it my way. I want it my choice. I want to make my choices. I think I know better than God is basically what we're saying when we go our own way. In the book of Isaiah chapter 59, in verse number 8, the Bible says, "The way of peace they know not, and there is no judgment in their goings. They have made them crooked paths. Whosoever goeth therein shall not know peace." Yes, dear friends, when we go our own way, we lose God's blessings, as we talked about 2 weeks ago. Last week, when we go our own way, we learn the hard way. And when we go our own way, we make things worse. How often have we had to call in someone else, whether it be our spouse or friend, or even break down and have to call the preacher to clean up because we've made such a mess of our life? And then number 4, when we go our own way, depression and disaster hits. See, when we go our own way, things get worse, and depression, destruction can very well follow. Saul grieved over his choices and ended up killing himself after he was wounded in battle as he falls on his own sword. Sarah sunk in despair over Ishmael and Hagar's presence in their home. Yes, the choice she made by having that syndrome of "I can do it myself" only brought problems into their life and into their home. Naomi, remember her from a couple weeks ago, she returned from Moab sorrowful. She said, "Call me not Naomi." See, her name literally means pleasant, But she says, call me Mara, which means bitter. When Israel lost the ark, the people sunk into depression. And one of the ladies who gave birth during that time named her child Ichabod, which means the glory has departed. When Jonah ran from God, he was in despair in the belly of the whale and cried out to God for salvation. I'm sure he thought more that he might have fish in his belly for his meal, but he ended up in the belly of a great fish. In Psalm 51, David cried out to God to forgive him of his sin for the mess he had made in his life and to restore the joy of God's salvation in his heart. Dear friends, sometimes that happens. Sometimes we go our own way. Sometimes we make bad choices. But when we go our own way and we mess up our lives and we find ourselves losing God's blessings and learning things the hard way and finding out we have only made things worse and we sink into depression, it's time, as David called out upon the Lord in Psalm 51, is to do the same thing and say, Lord, forgive me, and ask him to restore you into relationship with him once again. Judas got his way and got money for betraying Jesus. See, he did not bank on the depression and guilt that it would cause by doing what he had done. Judas ended up killing himself. Dear friends, not getting God's best in your life can be very, very discouraging. So let me ask this morning, are you sinking in despair and on the brink of disaster in your life right now because you have gone your own way? You have made some choices. I may encourage you to call out to the Lord like David did. Even though you have made some choices, have made some changes in your life, that you have chosen some things that went the wrong way. And many of us this morning, it is even in men's Sunday school class, when the gentleman making a comment about how some choices he made long ago only ended him up in a place that made his decision even worse and dealing with things in a harder way. But God taught him and brought him through those lessons and brought him back where he needed to be. Dear friends, learn from your mistakes. If you have made things worse and you fall into despair and depression, you fall into an error knowing that I just don't know what to do. I'm so overwhelmed. How could God forgive me? Let me assure you, 1 John 1:9 is still in the Bible, as we said last week. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. He is speaking to believers there of his own. But if you're here today and you've never put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, and you too have found yourself, have been going your own way all these years when you know that you need to come to Christ, why not do that today? Why not allow the Lord to step in and to change your life? And all you have to do is recognize your shortcomings, recognize you're a sinner, and fall before the feet of the Lord Jesus and ask him to forgive you and to save your soul. Don't go on living a life going your own way. Boy, it's easy to admit the mistakes when we're kids. It's hard. I can remember the first time and some years ago that I had to, as a late teenager, talk to Dad and said, Dad, I need your help. I've made a mistake. Boy, I'm so gracious for a father who just listened and then said, son, how can I help? Our Heavenly Father stands ready at any time with the right attitude, approaching him and asking for forgiveness, whether it be for salvation or restoring your fellowship with him. See, dear friends, if you need to get right with God or other people, just do it. Don't put it off for another day. Don't put it off for another time that might be better. The best time to do is when the Spirit of God speaks to your heart. See, if you don't respond when the Lord Jesus speaks to your heart, what are you doing? You're going your own way. You're making your own decision. I'll decide. Now's not a good time. What will people think? I'll do it another time when it's more private. Again, you're going your own way. Dear friends, we have been looking at the consequences of going your own way for the last few weeks. Again, let me recap before we close. When we go our own way, we lose God's blessings. And dear friends, how many blessings have we lost from the Lord by going our own way? When we go our own way, we learn the hard way. We take our knocks. We take our hits. We get punished, and the Lord has to discipline us. When we go our own way, we make things worse. And yes, without a doubt, I think many of us would agree, at times in my life, I've made things worse because I just didn't make the decision to go God's way. And when we go our own way, at times depression, disaster hits. Let me encourage you, just one thing quickly before we go on and then close. Why continue going your own way? Why continue to think things will get better tomorrow than they were today when you know you're not doing what the Lord Jesus would have you to do? You're not doing what the Bible has to say. Dear friends, don't listen to me. Look at me as me preach. Oh, well, the preacher is saying, no, the Word of God is saying, I am just repeating it and presenting it in another way. I'm exactly as the Word says. When we go our own way, we only find ourselves out of the will of God. And then lastly, when we go our own way, we have regrets. Boy, how many of us have regrets in life for the choices that we made, wishing that we had made decisions sooner, wishing that we had honored and obeyed the Lord when He first spoke to our heart about doing something that He has asked us to do. Here's what happens when we go our own way and we have these regrets. We ask ourselves, man, why did I do this? How did I get here? Remember the prodigal son waking up in the pig pen and realizing, how did I get here? Well, it started by going your own way. Sometimes we wake up after we have ruined everything and think, what in the world was I thinking? What in the world was I thinking? I look back, and some of you will laugh at this because some of you will laugh in agreement. There's times in my life, especially my first day of basic training, I thought to myself, what in the world am I doing here? What have I done? It worked out as I made things right and knowing I was where God wanted me to be at that time, but I wondered there for a moment. The prodigal son again came to his senses and said, I am going home where I was better off. Dear friends, in hell, people will wonder why they wanted to go to hell and why they rejected Christ, but it will be too late. They will have great regrets, but it will be too late. May we learn from the mistakes of others and not look to go our own way. Dear friend, where are you at today in your Christian walk? If you're here today and you know that you're saved and you know that you're on your way to heaven, let me ask, are you guilty of going your own way in some areas of your life? Oh, well, preacher's meddling now. Well, maybe just a little bit, but I think I'm still within confines of Scripture. I think no matter what age we are, when we trust Christ as our personal Savior until the day the trumpet sounds, to the day we take our last breath, we should strive to go God's way in service for Him. We may not be able to do the things that we used to do. We may not be able to be involved as much as we would like to, but we can still go His way as we serve Him through our years, even our golden years, even our young years. The younger crowd has the idea of, well, you know, I just kind of want to sow my oats. I kind of want to do my own thing, have a little fun for a while, and then I'll go back and do what Mom and Dad taught me. Then I'll go back and do the things that I said I would do when I was a kid. The world is full of people today that made decisions walking an aisle. The world is full of people today that made a decision at camp, made a decision at youth meeting, made a decision at a youth rally or a men's or a ladies' fellowship, but yet they decided that God knew what He was talking about then, but now it's time that I go my own way. Dear friends, the calling of service unto the Lord is a lifetime. May we learn from our mistakes and the mistakes of others not to go our own way. But dear friends, if you're here and you know the Lord, again, are you going your own way or are you going God's way? Do you know God's will for your life? Are you plugged into a local church? Are you plugged into a local assembly and serving and do what you can, not only to be faithful when you can, but also serving and serving one another? If you're here today and you've never put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, are you tired of going your own way? Are you ready to throw up your hands and say, Lord, I surrender? I'm ready to give my life to You and ask the Lord to forgive you. Whatever the case may be this morning, whether you're a Christian here that has that help God out syndrome going on in your life and you need to make things right, why not correct it now? If you're here today again and you question or not sure about salvation, why not settle that today before it's too late? Yes, dear friends, there's a life and there's many going their own way in the world today. But I challenge you to find a believer, if you're here today and you know Christ is your Savior, I challenge you to find another believer that will admit that he's going his own way and not God's and is happy in doing it. See, there's something called the Holy Spirit that rubs us a little bit the wrong way because we're rubbing and just rebelling against God. And that conviction sets in. And many times people will avoid church, they'll avoid the Bible, they'll enjoy the things of God because they are afraid they'll hear something or be reminded of what God had asked them to do and remind them that they're not in service for the Lord. Yes, just opening your Bible and spending time in prayer. Oh, the Christians today that has went so far but yet have so many regrets. If you're here today and you don't know the Lord, why wait another minute of going your own way? Why not come to Him right now? Let's stand together, heads are bowed and eyes are closed, and we'll have a word of prayer in just a moment, an invitation, and give you an opportunity to reflect on the message this morning. Are you going your own way? Have you made decisions that need to be corrected? Again, if you're here today and you need to make a decision for Christ, why not come now and give your life to the Lord? Father, you know the needs that are represented this morning. It's hard to be in a church anywhere in the world without having someone that maybe has drifted going their own way that needs to come back. Without having someone that maybe that doesn't really know Christ as their personal Savior. They've played church. They've been here. They've been in church, but they have never truly repented and turned to Christ. Father, you know the needs that are represented this morning. Whether it be those who need to come to Christ for salvation or those that need to quit going their own way and come back to the Lord and say, Lord, I'm ready to serve. Lord, please forgive me. Help me to be in and to stay in your will. Whatever the case may be, Father, may thy Holy Spirit speak to the hearts of your people this morning, we ask in Jesus' name. Heads are still bowed and eyes are still closed. Our piano is playing. Where you stand or here at an altar, if you'd like to pray, why not talk to God? Thank you for the message, for the reminder. Thank you for the message that's reminded you of where you are and where you need to be, whatever the case may be. You do as the Lord directs you to do. Some have come to pray, others may need to. But only you can answer the question, am I going my own way or am I in the will of God? Only you can answer the question, do you know that you know that you know that you're saved and on your way to heaven? If not, why not resolve that today? Stop going your own way and come to Christ. For all hearts and minds are clear, you can look this way. A public invitation may be closed, but I'm always available if you need anything. And as always, remember that God loves you and His preacher loves you. If I can be helped you in any way, please do not hesitate to ask. Choir practice this afternoon here, 4:15 here in the auditorium. Correct, Michelle, 4:15. And, of course, our evening service tonight. Look forward to being with you. And I'm going to make my way back to the back. Brother Johnson, I'm going to ask you, if you don't mind, if you close us in prayer, but we have a rule. You have to pray long enough to give me time to get to the back and take my coat off and be ready to meet visitors coming out. Okay. again, folks, so thank you for being here. Visitors, I can be helped any way. Please don't hesitate to ask. It's good to have the Johnson family here from Indiana visiting and going to a few spring ball games here in the area, enjoying it. And those of you who grew up, you already know this, but those of you who don't, there's ball games all over the place. There's 15 teams and 10 stadiums across the valley. Plenty of opportunity to watch a ball game during this spring if you have a time. But do your best to still be in church. Amen. All right. God bless you.